Jeremiah 37. Zedekiah reigned as king instead of Kenaniah, but neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of Yahweh which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal and Zephaniah to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now to Yahweh our God for us." Well, God had told Jeremiah not to pray for the people. But you see here how even wicked men like Zedekiah, who did not want to listen to God's word and lived worshipping idols and worshipping the power and the hope of the power of men like of people like Egypt and the Assyrians to save him from Babylon rather than trusting in God, when it comes to really bad situations, they still turn to the one true God. So sad that people in their conscience have a hole in their heart that only God can really fill. And in their dire, lowest moments, they cry out to God to save them. You imagine you're on an aeroplane full of people who are maybe going off on their holidays somewhere and they're drinking and having a good time and there's not a thought about God and mocking God and blaspheming and using his name in vain. And suddenly, the plane starts to go down very, very quickly. People start screaming. Don't tell me that people don't start praying to God. Now, we mustn't be like that, where you just turn to God in extremity. We must be in daily, hourly, minute-by-minute relationship with God and love God and not just be full of our own lives and ourselves and then just call to God in crisis. But it's interesting how in crises people do turn to God, and you see Zedekiah doing this here. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people. They'd not yet put him in prison. Pharaoh's army had come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard news of them, they broke up from Jerusalem. Then came the word of Yahweh to the prophet Jeremiah. "You shall tell the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army that has come forth to help you will return to Egypt, and the Chaldeans will return and fight against this city, and they will take it and burn it with fire. Don't deceive yourselves by saying, 'The Chaldeans will surely depart from us,' for they shall not depart. For though you had struck the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet would they rise up, every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire." It happened that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to receive his portion there in the midst of the people. So this temporary lifting of the siege of Jerusalem, if you put it together with what we read earlier in Jeremiah, you'll see that this was at the time when the people had made an agreement to let their servants go free and not to abuse their brothers. And when they did that, the king of Babylon's army left, and they thought, oh great, but then they brought their servants back into bondage, and the Babylonians returned. So it just shows they were given one last chance, really. And God showed them that, look, I can make these soldiers, these Babylonians, I can make them go away. If you want, it's quite easy. I can do all things. But they didn't learn. God really, really tried with them. So that when we finally read that Jerusalem was taken, this was only after a huge amount of effort and so many chances. So Jeremiah tries to leave Jerusalem in this break in the siege. But when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard was there called Irijah. And he laid hold on Jeremiah, saying, "You're falling away to the Chaldeans." Jeremiah said, "It's false, so I'm not falling away to the Chaldeans." But he didn't listen to him, so he brought him to the princes. The princes were angry with Jeremiah and struck him and imprisoned him in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they'd made that the prison. When Jeremiah had come into the dungeon and into the cells, and Jeremiah had been there many days, Zedekiah the king sent and fetched him. The king asked him secretly in his house, saying, "Is there any word from Yahweh?" You You see again how a man who was otherwise just caught up in the thinking of the world and the flesh, when there's a real crisis, he wants to know what God says. Jeremiah said, "There is. You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Oh, poor Jeremiah, he'd been in the dungeon, must have thought he was going to die, and then he's brought into the palace, and there he is with the king. And he knows the king, humanly speaking, can save him. And it must have been so tempting for him to tell the king what the king would like to hear, or at least not to tell him God's word, which is, "You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Jeremiah was great. He really was. He spoke God's word even when it was really difficult to say it. And Jeremiah then said, "Wherein have I sinned against you or against your servants that you put me in prison? Where now are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, 'The king of Babylon won't come against you nor against this land'? Please hear, my lord the king. Please let my supplication be presented before you, that you not cause me to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, or else I'm going to die there." See how desperate poor Jeremiah was. And yet he told Zedekiah, who was the man who apparently could save him in a human sense, "You're going to be taken by the Babylonians." Well, God rewarded him, because Zedekiah the king, although he'd just been condemned by Jeremiah, he commanded and they committed Jeremiah into the court of the guard and gave him every day a loaf of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city was spent.